week at 10 a.m.
Daddy, the phone lines are open at 977-1070.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's 38 minutes after 4 o'clock. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. It's Wednesday, and it's 90 degrees. Happy summer to you. My name is Coy Barefoot. In the next hour, we're going to talk with best-selling author Paul Roberts about his new book, The End of Food, about the coming world food crisis. It will blow your mind. We're also going to be giving away a free copy of the new book. Looking forward to talking with him. Help me welcome to the program Captain Tyrone Sims, U.S. Army. He is co-director of Virginia Veterans for Obama, and it is a true honor to welcome him to the program. Tyrone, how are you?
I'm great. Call yourself?
Very good. A little too busy, but, you know, who isn't these days?
Understand.
Yeah. How's your summer going?
Summer's great. Busy, like you said, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
There you go. I should also point out that Tyrone is a double graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership here at Mr. Jefferson's University. The best place to start, I think, is tell us about Virginia Veterans for Obama. You know, recently we spoke with Paul Galante, who was in the Hanoi Hilton with John McCain. He is the director of Virginia Veterans for McCain. And, of course, it was a great thrill to talk with him. But now you are a veteran and work with a number of veterans here in the Commonwealth who have come forward and said, hey, we're going to support Barack Obama.
That's correct, Coy. We unofficially got started towards the end of June, right after the Virginia Democratic State Convention. The national campaign felt a need to form veteran groups for the campaign, official veteran groups, throughout the entire country. And with Virginia being one of the key states this year, it was very important for them to ensure that they had an up-and-thriving veterans organization running in Virginia. And so myself, Tom Barris, and Jim Warren were approached by the national campaign to spearhead getting the state veterans mobilized and out there campaigning on Senator Obama's behalf.
And tell us why. I mean, why is it that you, as a veteran and a captain in the U.S. Army and a veteran of Iraq, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but why is it that you support Barack Obama over John McCain?
For me, it's twofold. I know we'll go into some things a little later, but the first one would be I don't see Senator McCain changing too much of the current foreign policy. I see us still going down the same same track, same status quo policies that we currently have in place now. So that's one. And then the second is that what I see in Senator Obama is the ability and the willingness to reach out and seek out different points of view that may not necessarily agree with his own, and the willingness and ability to know which way to go, even if that way wasn't necessarily the one that he originally thought or thinks is best.
So he's a leader who's able to take new information and change his mind.
Correct.
Which a lot of times in politics, you know, they call it flip-flopping, and it's portrayed as a very bad thing you wouldn't want in a leader. Personally, I sort of like it. It means somebody's paying attention, but oftentimes the media will portray it as a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. And for someone like myself and many veterans who have served in combat, and even those who haven't served in combat, you know, one of the things you respect in your leadership is for their ability to recognize when either they're wrong or they may not necessarily be taking their subordinates down the proper path, and having that ability to shift gears and go on the right course.
We're talking with Captain Tyrone Sims, U.S. Army. Tyrone, when did you sign up and why? I'm curious.
Well, I'm a 2000 West Point graduate, and so I technically would have to back myself all the way to end of June, July of 95 after I graduated from high school, because I had to attend the attend West Point's prep school. And then from there, which is a one-year program, did my 4 years at West Point, graduated, and then entered the Army in end of May, early June of 2000.
So this was the decision you made as a teenager?
Yes.
And why is that? Because, you know, that's sad to say, that is a rare thing these days in America.
Well, you know, I could answer that a lot of ways. I come from a family that's very storied with respect to military service to our country. I can go as far back as my great-grandfather served in World War I. Both my grandfathers served in Korea and World War II. All of my uncles served in either World War II, Korea, or Vietnam. Most of my dad's brothers have served. So we have a long line of military service. My little brother is a 2004 West Point grad. And then my dad himself just retired from Marine Corps a couple of years ago. So always knew or always had this feeling that somehow or another I was going to serve. Of course, in high school, you know, I initially didn't think that was going to happen until the whole college preparation aspect kicked in. I was like, oh, West Point, let's do it.
We're honored to be talking with Captain Tyrone Sims, U.S. Army. He is the co-director of Virginia Veterans for Obama. Tyrone, tell us about Iraq, when you went over there, and if you can share with us the extent to which, well, just some of your stories. I've told folks that I've really been looking forward to having you on the program to share some of these stories about your experience on the ground, literally on the front lines in Iraq.
Well, cool. I have to say that to start, that my experience in Iraq, especially in my year in Baghdad, was the greatest experience of my life, especially on the professional side. I was in 1st Squadron, 2nd ACR, 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment, which then was stationed out of Fort Polk, Louisiana. And we deployed to Iraq end of April, early May of 2003, and were there until July of 2004. Initially, we were supposed to just do a one-year stint, so we were supposed to come home in April. But when the Shia uprising occurred between April 4th and April 8th of 2004, we had to extend and stay an additional 3 months. But during that time period, it's during the months of, end of June of 03 until April 6th, no, April 8th, excuse me, April 8th of 2004, which was our time period in Baghdad, at least the time period in Baghdad where we were working the whole local government piece. And what essentially occurred was the Coalition Provisional Authority came down with a mandate for us, for all the units, the Army units, to establish district and neighborhood councils. And we were establishing these based on the current districts that already existed in Baghdad. So Baghdad, for instance, consists of 9 districts. And so my squadron had one of these districts, Tisanisan, under its area of operation. And so I was, matter of speaking, in charge of the entire government piece. So I was key in forming the district council, its 10 neighborhood councils, and then I fostered them, mentored them, quote-unquote taught them their version of the democratic process, and then liaised on their behalf to the United Nations and the Coalition Provisional Authorities.
So you'd literally set up government in part of Baghdad.
Yes.
You led that.
Yeah. I mean, what we did on the onset, so when we got the mandate, the troop commanders, my squadron commander, the civil affairs team, we'd go out to all the neighborhoods in the district and pretty much just put out announcements saying, hey, we're going to have elections for your neighborhood. Come to this place this time if you want to serve on the council. And we would also, now we would make these announcements in the streets, and then we also would go to local businessmen, businesswomen, doctors, lawyers, teachers, professionals, people of that nature, just so we make sure we got an educated pool of people to assist us in establishing these governments. So then they would come to the designated location at time, vote on their own, and all we did was facilitate the elections. In no way did we ever, say to one guy, "Hey, you should vote for him or that."
Right, right.
We totally stayed out. And then as soon as they, let's say they were supposed to have 10, so they'd vote for their 10, and then from that 10, and all the other respective neighborhood councils, they would vote for, say, 3, just to keep it simple, to represent them at the district level. And then once we, and then a couple months after we got into that, we ended up having elections within the district council to have representation for the city, and then representation for the province.
We're talking with Captain Tyrone Sims. He's co-director of Virginia Veterans for Obama. Tyrone, what was the reaction like? I can imagine it was mixed, but do you have any particular Iraqis that you'll never forget?
Oh, several. Dr. Ziad, probably one of my greatest supporters and a true friend. He was our second district council chairman. Actually ended up working his way up to become deputy minister of defense in charge of supply and logistics. My friend Lisa, she was head of my women's committee. I probably did the most work with the women's committee because they were the ones focused on education and on several other issues that the men, for whatever taboo reasons, just didn't want to deal with. And they were actually the most proactive group I had. I had this one old man named Adnan who liked to kiss my head. Because as you know, Coy, my head shaved.
Right.
And this guy used to like to kiss my head, and he would not let anyone else do it. And would admonish anyone who even attempted to do so, which was fine with me because I didn't need everyone kissing me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there were several people, council members, just quote-unquote regular Iraqis that I dealt with that pictures of and just constant fond memories of.
And this was going on. You're setting up, literally setting up a free government in part of Baghdad and leading this while, you know, there's fighting going on all around you.
Well, yes and no. It's really weird how, if you look at Baghdad like your regular city, you have your good parts and your bad parts. You know, the parts where you can walk the street at night and not worry about anything, but then you have those parts where you better make sure you're with, two or three friends or off the streets at certain nights. And we were very fortunate. All the enemy contact ceased for us in July of 2003. And I really give a lot of praise to my squadron commander for that occurring, not just because of the whole military tactic side of the house of being able to flush out the bad guys, but also his strong support of the civil military action in the squadron, his true open respect for the Iraqi people, created an almost instant positive reaction amongst the populace because they saw how genuine he was and truly wanting to help them and get them past the whole Saddam era.
Yeah, and I guess what we're talking about is winning hearts and minds. We hear that referred to in the media as a very difficult thing to do after you take physical control of a city with guns and tanks. You still have to win the hearts and minds, and that's exactly what you were involved in.
Yes, and the way we ended up doing that, beside obviously being polite to people, which for some reason people just don't seem to understand that if you're nice to someone, 9 times out of 10 they're gonna be nice to you as well. One of the big strategic things we did was doing several small neighborhood projects. And so what we would do is have several garbage pickups or garbage cleanup projects or sewage cleanup projects, road grading, because a lot of the roads weren't paved, things like that, so they could see constant positive change, like, oh, the Army is doing something for us. And then it wasn't the fact that the Army was doing it per se, but we were just supplying the money. So the contractors were Iraqis, the workers were Iraqis, and then to eliminate the whole government corruption piece, never did we ever give the money to the council members to give to the contractors. Either myself or my civil affairs team or one of the troop commanders or platoon leaders would be there with the contractor and the council member during the money exchange. and they we would be the U.S. Army. We'd be the ones with the money, so that if someone came up to us, if an Iraqi came up to us and said, "Oh, you know, Councilmember X stealing money," it's like, well, actually, they weren't.
We're talking with Captain Tyrone Sims, U.S. Army. Tyrone, I got to ask you the obvious question. When George Bush ran for president in 2000 during a debate, he said very clearly and repeated it on the campaign trail that he thought using our troops for nation building was not right and he was not going to do it. You could argue he lied or that he didn't believe it, or you could argue that 9/11 totally changed his approach to that concept. But in point in fact, that's exactly what you were doing in Iraq, is nation building. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, you're correct, Coy. Definitely worth doing nation building a lot more than war fighting. I look at it in with mixed feelings because, you know, I thank God that I did have the opportunity to do what I did. The problem we have currently with this war on terror, quote-unquote, is that there are only two facets of our government that truly are fighting this war: United States Army, United States Marine Corps. No other departments in the United States government are forcing their personnel to serve downrange. So with all of the whole foreign policy and the nation-building aspects of war, lack of a better word, the State Department isn't forcing their personnel to go downrange and perform like the mission I have to perform. So, for instance, when I was downrange, I had a State Department colleague. They would come down and serve every 3 months, but only one of them was worth their salt. The others never wanted to leave the green zone, and no one was going to force them to leave. So the problem we have here is that because U.S. Army and U.S. Marine Corps are the only ones on the ground who have to do their jobs, who have to perform the mission, when the other personnel and the other departments state, well, we just don't want to send our people down there, then we're left holding the bag.
So you're nation building by default because ain't nobody else going to do it.
Pretty much.
Captain Tyrone Sims, a U.S. Army, a veteran of Iraq, and graduate of West Point. He's co-director of Virginia Veterans for Obama. And again, before I let you go, Tyrone, if I heard you right earlier in the conversation, you're like, I support Obama because he's the one that represents change. What kind of change specifically might you have in mind?
Well, I definitely would like to refocus on Afghanistan. And anyone who's followed this campaign for the last year and a half knows that Senator Obama also wants to refocus his attention on Al-Qaeda, which is located on the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. We need a downsize in Iraq, not for a lot of the reasons people hear in the media, but just for the simple matter that the Iraqi government needs to understand that eventually they are going to have to be in charge. And it took me forever to explain some of the mindsets going on with the Iraqi Governing Council and their parliament, but they need to own the pot that they're holding, and we need to put them in a position to where they actually understand that, okay, we are actually going to be running this ship. So I do believe we need to just fire on that. But I think, as I stated earlier, though, I believe the biggest thing is just the ability, or not the ability, but the willingness to listen to all points of view and not shut anyone out just because you're not in the same party or whatever, category you want to stick the person in. I mean, if me being a Democrat, if a Republican has a great idea that I believe is going to better serve the people than the idea I came up with, why out of pride would I put that Republican idea to the side just because he's not a Democrat? To me, it makes no sense, and I believe that Senator Obama falls in that same type of category, same type of person.
Captain Tyrone Sims, U.S. Army, co-director of Virginia Veterans for Obama. Tyrone, thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for joining us this afternoon, and I've enjoyed it.
I appreciate it, Corey. It was good talking to you, man.
We're going to break for CBS News, local news, and weather. We'll be back with best-selling author Paul Roberts and the coming food crisis. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
A new year.
This game is about who we are. This game is about what we stand for.